walk out to check the north pasture in early July. The grass is already burnt brown. The stock tank is low. And the hay guy just quoted you a price that made you sit down on the tailgate for a minute.
And the whole drive back to the house, you're doing math in your head. How many of these cows can I actually afford to keep?
So that's today's question. When it goes dry, do you buy hay or do you sell cows? I'm here today with John Hewlett, a ranch and farm management extension specialist with the University of Wyoming and a member of the Right Risk team.
This is definitely one of the oldest questions in the cattle business, and it never gets any easier.
So let's start there. Why is this one especially hard right now?
Because cattle prices are strong. Sell a cow today and she brings good money. But that same market is why you'd want to keep her, since she can continue producing calves for the operation. There's no easy money in either direction.
Walk me through it. What happens if I buy the hay?
If you buy hay and keep your cows, you protect future calf production, and you don't have to rebuild the herd later. But you take on two things: a big feed bill now, and more cows to carry into a future nobody can predict.
And if it doesn't rain next spring either?
Then you could be right back here with fewer reserves. That's the risk. The drought hangs on, feed stays expensive, or the market softens up on you.
Okay, flip it. What if I sell?
Selling does just what it looks like it does. Fewer mouths, a smaller feed bill, and cash coming in this fall. That's real relief, and sometimes it's the right call. But you've cut your future production. And when the grass comes back and you rebuild, replacement females may not be cheap.
So the relief I feel in October could turn into a squeeze a few years out.
That's a good way to put it. Short-term breathing room can turn into long-term cash flow stress if rebuilding takes a lot of money and time.
Now, I know some folks listening are thinking, this isn't a risk management thing. This is just a hay bill.
I hear that a lot. But look at what you're really deciding. You're committing money today against weather, feed cost, and cattle prices you won't know for years. That's risk, plain and simple.
So it's not only about which choice pencils out best.
Right. It's about which one fits your place, your grass, your finances, and how much of a bad turn you could absorb if one came.
Fair enough. Which, where does a producer start?
With one number. What does it cost you to own a cow for a year?
And that's more than hay.
Way more. Hay gets all the attention in a dry year because the price is right in front of you, but it's one piece. You've also got pasture, vet work, minerals, breeding, fuel, labor, and interest.
That's the stuff you write checks for.
Right. And then there's the other half, the costs that never show up as a check. Depreciation, facilities, insurance, taxes, overhead, your own time.
And that second half is where folks get in trouble.
Usually, because nothing shows up in the mail to remind you. Here's why it matters. Say you're off by $300 a head. On 100 cows, that's a $30,000 error every year. Enough to flip your answer.
So if somebody's listening to this in the pickup right now, what should they actually do this week?
Take some time with the operations records and estimate the full annual cost of maintaining a cow, including both the expenses you pay directly and the fixed costs we just talked about.
That's the starting point.
Right. Then use that information along with realistic calf crop, weaning weight, and price assumptions to estimate your break-even calf price and compare the alternatives.
Now, is hay really the only way to feed through this?
Well, not at all. And this is where I'd slow people down before they call the hay hauler. Look at what else you got. Crop residues, corn stalks, annual forages, cover crops, byproduct feeds, pasture you could lease from somebody who caught a rain you didn't, or supplementing instead of full feeding.
And I've heard folks mention early weaning.
That's a good one. You pull the calves earlier than usual, and a dry cow just doesn't eat like one that's nursing. So you cut your feed need during the hardest stretch without selling.
What about the grass itself?
Don't forget it. Hold too many cows on drought-stressed pasture and those plants lose vigor. Weeds move in. And when the rain finally comes, that ground takes longer to come back.
So saving money this summer can cost you later.
It can, which is why a lot of operations land somewhere in the middle. Sell a portion, feed the rest, lease a little grazing. It doesn't have to be all or nothing, and no one strategy is right for every outfit.
Let's talk taxes, because that piece is easy to overlook.
It really is. Hay You Buy is generally a deductible operating expense, so it comes off your income. Selling cows works differently. If you've owned those cows a long time, your basis in them is probably low.
And basis is what, exactly?
Tax basis is the amount used to determine gain or loss for tax purposes. For breeding cows you've held a long time, that basis may be low, so selling them can create a substantial taxable gain.
And a large drought-driven sale could concentrate that income into one year.
That's the concern. Now there are federal provisions that may help producers who qualify. One can let you push income from those extra sales into the next tax year. Another can let you hold off on the tax when you replace the animals inside a set window, and that window can be extended where drought keeps hanging on.
And I'm guessing this is a talk to your tax person situation.
Definitely. Before the sale, not after. RuralTax.org is a good place to read up first so you know what to ask.
So how does somebody compare all this without losing their mind?
There's a free spreadsheet built for exactly this. Buy hay or sell cows from Colorado State University Extension. You put in your own numbers. Herd size, calf crop percentage, weaning weights, your cow costs, hay needs, expected cattle and hay prices, and how deep a cut you're considering.
And it gives you what?
It runs the decision out over several years, not just this fall. Revenues, expenses, cash flow as it stacks up, and what keeping those cows is actually worth to you. You can line up buying feed against selling cows, selling pairs, selling three-in-ones, or a combination.
So you can change an assumption and watch what happens.
Well, that's the whole point of a tool like this. It won't tell you what the weather's going to do. It shows you how your operation holds up either way.
Where do folks find it?
abm.extension.colastate.edu. And head over to rightrisk.org for more tools, courses, and past newsletter issues on decisions like this one.
All right, let's land this. If somebody remembers three things from today, what are they?
First, know your annual cow cost. Everything else in this decision leans on that number.
And many of us are further off than we think.
Many are only close. Second, don't treat this as all or nothing. Selling some and feeding the rest or mixing in a couple other options may fit your place better than either extreme.
And the third?
Run the numbers out over several years. A decision that looks good this fall looks different once you count the calves you won't have and what it'll take to buy those cows back.
I'll add one more. There's no single right answer here. Two good ranchers in the same county can look at the same drought and the same market and go opposite directions. Both can be right. Different costs, different goals.
That's it. You can't make the risk go away. What you can do is understand the trade-offs and decide how much of it fits your operation.
How much risk is right for you and your operation? Thanks for riding along.